the deepest problem in your heart? When I look into my heart, I see so many problems, so much darkness, so many wrong things, so much that God seems to need to change. And I sometimes sit there thinking, well, what is it which is underneath it all? What's the deepest, rootest problem in my heart? Where does all the darkness come from? And can I say, I think the answer is pride. That's our topic today, pride. If you're new with us, this term we have been looking through a series called Respectable Sins. It's all too easy, isn't it, to look down on certain actions as being really bad things, but then completely overlook other things, or even to see some things as being okay, as being respectable. So, for example, lots of us, we might look down on, I don't know, smoking or gambling or something like that, and there's issues there. But we completely overlook things like grumbling and gossip, discontentment and anger. And today, well, we're going to look at the topic of pride. Now, what is pride? Well, I'm not talking here, pride, about the kind of modern meaning of pride. You know, we often say, oh, well, I took pride in something. I was really proud of my dad when he helped the next door neighbour or something. And now, what we're talking about today is the old meaning of pride, a very negative thing. A dictionary definition might be, pride is thinking too highly of yourself. Pride is thinking of yourself better than everyone else. It's what Jane Austen meant when she called her book Pride and Prejudice. We picked up a cheap copy of the DVD version in the picture from a shop downtown last week. Laura, my wife, has watched it many times. I think she knows it word for word. But I've never seen it before. I always swore I would never watch it until I got married. I got married late in life, so I've never seen it until now. Now, we're only on episode 3, but I think what's going to happen is Mr. Darcy and Lizzie Bennet are going to get married. That's my suspicion. But it takes so long, doesn't it, for them to get together? Why? Because of pride. Especially pride on the part of Mr. Darcy. With all his wealth and family background, he sees himself as, well, way above the Bennets. And as we're going to see today, God sees our pride as a really deep problem, and he wants to change us in this way. Now, if you're a guest, can I say a big welcome to you, especially if you're not a Christian and you're kind of looking on things from the outside. The wonderful news of Christianity is that in Jesus, God both forgives us and he wants to change us. That's a wonderful thing. It means as a church, we love seeing how God has forgiven us already. He's accepted us into his family. And we also want to see as a church how God wants to work in our hearts, changing us day by day. We've been saying over the last term that church is not a holiday park for saints, but church is a hospital for sinners. So here as a church family, we're not perfect people who are just here to enjoy ourselves. We're a hospital meeting together because we know God wants to change us and to make us more like him. And today we're thinking about this whole area of pride, how God wants to change our hearts and make them less full of pride. We're doing it by looking at this bit from the letter of James. It was our reading, wasn't it? James, follower of Jesus, maybe even the brother of Jesus, he's writing to some early Christians, and he's talking to them about how if you follow Jesus, if you build your life on Jesus, then Jesus will want to change you. And the big issue in chapter 4 is the issue of pride. Have a look at verse 6. of chapter 4. It's on page 1217 if you've lost it. Verse 6 is our key verse, and it says this. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James wants to challenge our pride and to make us humble people. So if we're a hospital for sinners, I want to see three things today: the symptoms, the problem, and the cure when it comes to pride. First of all, the symptoms. What are the signs of pride in my heart? What are the signs, the evidence of pride? Well, can I ask you, do you see yourself as a proud person? We all know, don't we, certain people we come across, well, we say, those people, they're arrogant and proud people. Look at them. They're so full of themselves, we say. We often hate or we laugh at people like that, don't we? You've just got to turn on the telly and watch something like, I don't know, The Apprentice. You ever seen that with Alan Sugar? And you see people acting like that, aren't they? They're so kind of full of themselves, so brimming with confidence, boasting and proud. And we go, well, yes, they're proud people. And we don't see ourselves like that, do we? In fact, it's possible to see that coming into church. We might get some people who love being at the front, look at me, love talking about themselves and how brilliant their lives are. And well, I guess most of us don't do that. And so we see other people as proud people. But actually, the Bible's got a different view on this. It says that pride is in all of our hearts. And we don't see ourselves as being proud because often pride is a deep, hidden thing. It's so deep in us, it's kind of hidden, it's secret. We don't see it, obviously. So what I want to do is just to have a look at four symptoms of secret pride. Okay, four ways we can see that actually there is pride in all our hearts. And in this chapter, as James goes through, he shows us four ways in which pride can come out. First of all, jealousy. Chapter 4, verse 2, he talks about coveting others and quarrelling. Verse 2, you desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Now, coveting's kind of getting jealous of others. It's wanting to have what they have. And the thing is, that's the result of pride, isn't it? When we're proud and there's someone else who comes along and is better than us at what we like to do, then they threaten us, don't they? And what do? We get jealous and we kind of quarrel with them. We might not do it in a really obvious way. We might do it in a kind of what's often called a passive-aggressive kind of way. We might be kind of defensive and a bit prickly. But behind it is pride. See, how often it is that we are proud by focusing on one thing we like doing. So maybe we love playing tennis. And so we focus on that. We see that as being the really important thing. And we start seeing ourselves as the best tennis player around. And, well, someone else comes along and they're better at us at tennis. And we get jealous of them, don't we? We get defensive because they threaten how we like to see ourselves. So jealousy is the first symptom. Second symptom is judging. You see, if we're proud, then we like to see ourselves as being more important than others. We find fault with others. We criticize others. We assume we are morally superior. We put them down to pull ourselves up. Have a look at verses 11 and 12, where James writes about this. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, He who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? It's true, isn't it? Every time we speak critically against other people, we do it to put ourselves in a superior position. Critical people are secretly very proud people. I see that in my heart. Thirdly, we boast if we're proud. There's that kind of blatant boasting, isn't it? I'm the most amazing person ever. But most of the time, it's more subtle. Have a look now at verse 13 to 17. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. Now we do that, don't we? We talk about our holiday plans. We talk about buying this house or that house. We talk about our sons and daughters and what they're about to do next. We talk about lots of stuff in life with a great confidence. After it happens, we love putting photos up on Facebook so everyone can see what a fantastic life we are having. And the problem, says James, well, it's not just about being impressive. It's about making out that we are in control, that we are self-sufficient. When we talk as though we are the ones who control things and everything is sewn up, under the surface is pride. For boasting is claiming that we can do everything ourselves, that we are the impressive ones. We need no one else. We boast because we want other people to praise us for who we are. And then fourthly, we mistreat lesser people, if I can put it that way. You see, if we're proud, we'll only really be interested in people who kind of boost our ego, who make us feel more important. And we'll show a lack of concern for weak people, for lesser people. People we see as being beneath us. Here in James, it was particularly rich people showing no concern for the poor. Have a look at one verse, chapter 5, verse 4. Behold, the wages of the labourers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You see, if we're proud, we'll be self-obsessed. We're not going to be interested in the welfare of little people around us. We just want people who make us feel important and great around us. So those, then, are four symptoms of secret pride. I'm sure we could think about others. Maybe that's something to talk about later. And it's worth asking, isn't it, at this point, do we see any of those symptoms in ourselves? As we will see, well, the first step to dealing with pride is to see and to admit that actually pride is in our hearts. It's not just a problem for other people, it's in my heart. Okay, those are the symptoms. Let's think now about the problem. What's so wrong with pride in my heart? You see, the Bible says that pride is much more of a problem than just thinking, well, other people, I'm more important than them. It's actually thinking that we are more important than God himself. Pride is putting yourself in God's place. It's a much more serious problem than even Jane Austen talks about. The famous author C.S. Lewis said this: a proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something that is above you. He's right, isn't he? In fact, ultimately, the proud person must persuade themselves that there is no God. Psalm chapter 10, verse 4 says this: "In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek God. All his thoughts are, there is no God." And that's because God's presence is a threat to our pride. He is better and greater than we are. And now here we're getting to really what I think is the ultimate problem with pride. It's that it challenges God. Have a look back now in chapter 4. And we'll have a look at just verses 4, 5 and 6. Verse 4. "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is no purpose that the scripture says, 'He yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us.' But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, 'God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.'" You see, these proud people are making themselves enemies of God. And that's why God opposes the proud. And in the end, God must humble the proud, for God must be God. Someone put it, the prideful person contends with God himself. And that's a battle you don't want to wage and cannot win. So then, pride is such a problem because it challenges God's place. And that makes so much sense, doesn't it? Have a think back through some of the things we've already seen from James chapter 4. Proud people judge other people. But that's taking God's place. He's the judge. Proud people like to act like they are in control. But that's taking God's place. He's the one who's in control. Proud people like to take credit for what they have, but that's taking God's place. He is the giver. Proud people like to boast in their exalted position, but that's taking God's place. He is the one above all. And so pride pushes out God as God. It is not us, it is God who stands behind all things. Now, even as I say this, I reckon our hearts don't like it. Now, something in me which says, why should God be the focus? Do you feel like that? Sometimes you get people asking the question, God wants to be the most important person. Well, doesn't that make God proud himself? Can you see? Now, I want to say the answer is no. God is God. He is the creator. You see, the problem with our pride is that it is against reality. What is reality? Well, reality is that we are creatures and God is the creator. Reality is that, well, we have equal worth and value as do all other human beings. Pride denies reality. But for God to be honoured as God is seeing reality clearly. God is not proud at all. I guess we can have a little illustration here. We're like three-year-olds trying to say we're grown-ups. We are all proud, making ourselves more exalted than we are. But for an adult to say, I'm a grown-up, it's not proud. It's just reality, isn't it? But it's more than that. God has made us to find our satisfaction in him alone. You see, what's going on at a heart level with pride? Well, what's going on is pride is us trying to find satisfaction in ourselves. We want our achievements, our status, our gifts to give us satisfaction. That's why the big longing of pride is to get praise from others. But the Bible says we are made to find satisfaction in God. Have a look at verse 5. Do you suppose it is no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? A little bit complicated, but what he's saying is God is jealous for us. Jealous in the sense of a husband being jealous for his wife and the other way around. You see, when two people are married, they are to be jealous for each other. They are to long for each other and long that they would be loyal to each other and find satisfaction in each other. And that is how God is jealous for us. He wants us to find satisfaction in him alone. And so that means that because he is God and he is exalted, that's not at odds with our happiness. For we were made to find happiness and satisfaction in him. You see, a three-year-old, where is a three-year-old meant to find happiness? Well, not by saying, I'm a grown-up, I don't need you, I'm in control, I can do everything. But they're meant to find happiness by being with and under their parents who look after them. And the same with us. So what's so wrong with pride? Well, ultimately, pride is a huge problem because it challenges God's place and it seeks to find satisfaction in ourselves rather than in him. And that is why pride is such a deep sin. In fact, some people say pride is really the essence of sin. When you think of the first sin, Adam and Eve in the Bible, what was that? Some people say, well, it was all really about pride. They wanted to make themselves like God. And certainly James is saying pride stands behind all kinds of other sins. And for that reason, then, God must deal with pride. So lastly, the cure. What will kill pride in my heart? Well, here's where we must finish, because James wants us to face up to pride. And how are we to do that? Well, James doesn't say you need to try harder and just to pull up your socks and stop being proud. No, he's got something more to say than that. What James wants us to see is that if you kill pride, then you'll enjoy more of God's grace. Verse 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God longs to give us more grace. And pride in our hearts is like a wall stopping us enjoying his grace. Now, what is grace? Well, grace are the gifts that God longs to give us. And, well, what is more grace? Well, it's receiving more and more of that in our lives. You see, from the very beginning of the Christian life, God was giving us gifts. God gave us the gift of forgiveness. He gave us the gift of a relationship with him. He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit living inside us. He gave us all those things as a great gift. That is what we already have as his grace. But he wants to give us more and more. And the problem is if we are proud, then it blocks that. It stops us enjoying more grace. He tells us what that grace is in chapter 4. So have a look, verse 7. It's the strength to stand up to the devil, to resist temptation. Verse 8, it's a closer and closer relationship with God. Verse 10, it's being raised up by God. That's talking about eternal life to come. All this is the grace which God wants to give us. There's an American preacher. His name is John Piper, and he's written a book called Future Grace. It's quite a big one, but it's a good read. You might want to have a look at this afterwards. What he's saying there is that if we are Christians, we have past grace. We have all those things I've already mentioned, but God wants to give us even more grace. He wants to fill our lives with his presence, his transforming power, and to enjoy a relationship with him. But what stops us from enjoying that? Our pride. Think Pride and Prejudice. What was it which stopped Mr. Darcy and Lizzie Bennet from enjoying married life together and coming together in marriage? Pride. And so it is with us and God. Pride holds us back from really enjoying God. And so here is the issue. This is where it comes down to. We need to see that, well, the great motivation for killing pride in ourselves is that if we do that, we will enjoy God far more. We will know much more of God in our lives. Let's finish with verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. It's a great promise, isn't it? It's the promise that if we deal with pride, then we will enjoy God all the more. How do we do that? How do we kill pride? Well, it begins with confession. In verse 9, he talks about how they are to mourn over their hearts. We are to begin dealing with pride by confessing it before God, saying to him that we are but creatures and we are but bad people in our hearts. We are proud people and we need his forgiveness and we need his power to change. So let me now lead us in a prayer and a time of confession and praying for God to make himself real to us. Heavenly Father, we look at ourselves, we look at our lives, we look inside our heart and we confess before you that we see in our hearts pride. We think ourselves more important than other people. And we even think of ourselves as so important that we take your place. And we see how that's a deeply wrong thing in us. And Father, we want to see this week, Father, that as pride comes to the surface from our hearts, that we might believe what this passage is saying. That we might believe that if we choose to say no to pride, that you will give us more grace. That you will draw closer to us and that saying no to pride is the key to having more of you in our lives. And so, Father, we want that to be the great motivation. Please change us in Jesus' name. Amen.